which the U.S. might be involved. Present at those meetings were the directors of movies like Delta Force One, Missing in Action, and Fight Club. As a result, in a country where basic services like school and healthcare have been harder to access due to COVID-19, the few spaces for social interaction available to many vulnerable Americans have remained saturated with violence. The casualties of not caring for own in this way are high. According to the National Institutes of Health, an estimated 300,000 deaths each year are due to the U.S. obesity epidemic. Unfortunately, deadly as such a phenomenon might prove to be. It doesn't make for the sort of gripping plots that popular movies need. Similarly, the military's recruitment efforts suffer because of poor mental health levels among young people. One in five young women and one in 10 young men experience an episode of major depression before turning 25. Meanwhile, the suicide rate in the U.S. is the highest among wealthy nations, and now, thanks in part to all the weapons flooding this society, is also the second leading cause of death among 10 to 24-year-olds. Worse yet, poor kids are significantly more likely to die by suicide. Globally, wealth and race-based inequalities are key detriments of mental health, in part because people who sense that the world they live in is deeply unfair are more likely to develop clinical mental health disorders. A 2019 United Nations report suggested that in order to improve mental health, governments ought to focus on investing in social programs to support people who have experienced trauma, abuse, and neglect at home or in their neighborhoods. It seems unlikely, though, that U.S. elected representatives are ready for such things. The human frailties that hinder enlistments are symptoms of something more sinister than a military lacking bodies. The threat that is guaranteed to further undermine any American readiness to face life, as it should be faced in this discordant 21st century with its ever more feverish summers, is the dismantling of U.S. democratic system. A recent survey ranked the U.S. only 26th globally when it comes to the quality of its democracy. And that's sad because functional democratic systems are better at creating conditions in which people can help each other and be involved in public service of all sorts, yes, including in the military. Democracies are also better at educating people and generally have more efficient healthcare systems, in part due to the lesser likelihood of corruption. Democracies have less criminal violence and less likelihood of civil war. In a true democracy, where the peaceful transition of power is a given, the kinds of emergencies that necessitate a strong military and law enforcement response are much less likely, which is why the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol was so ominous. Worse yet, investing in weapons rather than human livelihood is guaranteed to have costs that are not only far-reaching but hard to predict. One thing is certain, though. War and ever greater preparations for more of it do not lay the groundwork for a good democracy.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Thank you. IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. In such a program, we criticize movies with especially religious themes. Of course, we criticize them not from the artistic or purely artistic facet. Rather, we deal with these movies and critique it or criticize these movies, in fact, based on their contents and how much truth can we find in them, or we can compare them with some of the religious teachings we have, and also logic. Well, for that, again, I invited Sayyid Abdullah and Sister Asma. Salaam alaikum to you both. Sayyid Abdullah, I started with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Sister Asma, salaam alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I have the pleasure to be here again.
The pleasure is all mine. And let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Jinn, 2014, American horror movie directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. Let's listen and then we'll be back. Don't go away.
I thought you gave that up a long time ago.
Coming close to death, can I have any facts?
You could have gone Christian, you know.
Point is, something happened. As if something wasn't letting me go.
Well, there's nothing strange about that. I see that in my business all the time.
I don't.
You were guarding that boy since he was a child without him ever knowing it. You think something was guarding you as well?
Hard to believe.
That's why we call them miracles.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speaker in the studio, criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. Starring Dominic Raines, Ray Park, William Atherton, Farah Tarr, and Surinda Swan. Well, in that specific part, well, we see, in fact, the father talking, let's say, to Gabriel, who has a necklace of the Star of David, Sayyid Abdullah, on his neck, and gives him a symbol of a mixed crescent. It's very interesting to have all of these symbols of different religions mixed into or boiled into one. The Star of David and a cross. It's like a medal, of course, right? Mm. The location is a temple, if you notice.
Yeah.
Right? Having the settings of a church, synagogue, and a mosque all together.
Yeah.
All right? Well, does this film advocate peace with the help of all the major religions of the world?
You just reminded me of a scene from the movie The Mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Remember there's a scene where the mummy he comes to life and there's this guy,
mm-hmm.
the guide, and then he tries to see what religion the mummy is. And so he had all these necklaces. Mm-hmm. He had the Jewish, the cross, the Star of David. So some people, they try to incorporate all these things together,
mm-hmm.
to make it easier for the viewers to kind of get into the the spirit of the movie. If it was just from a Christian theology, the Muslims would be left out. They wouldn't like it. If it was just a Muslim kind of theme, the Christians wouldn't like it. And so on, so with the Jews. So they tried to incorporate everything in a very nice, smooth way, I can say. Like the way they put the cross and the Star of David and everything else. It was just an easier kind of smooth transaction between all these things put together. I think that was just
not to mess with any religion.
Yeah, I don't think
or
it has,
make an enemy of them.
Exactly,
their
and
followers.
I don't think it
and
has,
at the end of the day, make a lot of money.
Exactly. And I think
by appeasing to them.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, I don't think it was more like of a peace thing between religions, rather than trying to say that this concept of jinn and stuff like that is within all these religions. Mm-hmm. All these religions deal with this issue, and they all have it. Therefore, it will be only appropriate to have all of them at the same time.
Yes. Sister Asma, do you believe that there are more common realities and concepts in religions than their distinguishing factors, that the differences? Why do we see, for example, in the world, like they too much highlight, for example, the differences among religions, mm-hmm. as if they have this intention of making a fight between all their followers. Rather, we should focus on the common denominators.
Exactly. I think all the religions are the same, and they have been united in Islam.
They
after
have come
all,
from
eventually.
The same root.
Yes, they have the same root, and they speak about the same things.
God.
If it's peace, if it's about justice, if it's about good deeds or whatever... It is in all the religions, in all the holy books, we see that we have been advised to do these good things or exclude ourselves from some bad rituals or whatever, or they have enlightened us all. So I think all the religions are the same, but by the passage of the time, as we get into the modern age, since different sort of government come into existence, then based on their benefits, they would bring these differences into existence in a way that people would get into a fight with each other.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, all the religions are the same.
This is one good, let's say, theme and thing, let's say, that I've seen in this movie, and I pretty much liked it. And to me, if you bring all of the prophets together, because they have come from the same origin,
exactly.
and they worship the same God, I don't think that they would get into a fight with each other,
exactly.
like their followers.
Yes, just when human beings come into the story and they bring their ego with them, all the troubles or the fights are going to rush up.
Mm-hmm, I see. Let's take a short break by listening to part of the movie Jinn, or a trailer from it, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahar Ahmad. Then we'll be back. Don't go away.
They've been around for a long time, and some of them want the world back.
Some people believe if you talk about the jinn, that will come to you.
Which stuff has happened to us, Mom? I don't know if it's a prank, whether or not to believe these guys.
Come here.
They come generation after generation, looking for the prophesied one.
Oh my God. Something's coming.
Back to the program, Viewpoint on RIB English Radio. With me, Mohammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah, my guest speaker, helping me criticizing the movie Jinn, produced in 2014, directed by Ajmal Zahir Ahmad. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, at the end of the movie, they all realize that Sean and Jasmine's newborn son also has a superpower, right? By pulling the pacifier, the baby's dummy, basically. Mm. Without touching it, are such abilities for real, Sayyid Abdullah, or just a magic trick in the media for more entertainment?
That scene reminded me of the cartoon The Incredibles, when they realized at the end of the movie that they
exactly.
their powers as well.
Yeah, look, it did to me too.
Yeah. Look, human beings, we have the ability to bend and mend the reality that we live in. Mm-hmm. We do have the capacity.
Yes.
Not that we don't. We do, but we just don't know how. We haven't reached that full capacity of our brain
yes.
to use it. And that's why I always refer to the movie Lucy, if you remember.
Yes, I do. We criticize it too, by the way.
Yeah, so if we reach 100% of our capacity, we can change things around us. I mean, you know, when we talk about the Imams alayhi salam being able to, for example, Amir al-Mu'mineen, to move the sun backwards and forwards and to shift things around earth, it's because they have, not because they have just, you know, magical powers, it's because they have the know-how. Even Allah in the Quran says, when he talks about jinn and ins, he said, if you want to leave the realms of earth, you can do that. In sata'tum, and tanfudhu fanfudhu. You can.
Yeah.
La tanfudhu illa bi sultan. You need knowledge
exactly.
to be able to do so.
Exactly.
So human beings, we can shift and move things without even having to move a thing.
But we haven't actualized our potential.
Exactly. So we need to learn how to. I mean, for you to borrow these gifts to move things around, no, that's just nonsense.
I see.
That was the childhood of Superman.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just Hollywood at its best.
Yes.
Sister Asma, you know, Muslims relate jinns to fire, but Western movies I've noticed, color blue in lots of their movies,
yes.
especially cartoons. If they want to show that there is a demon or a genie or whatever, they paint it blue, all right? But we all know that it's not basically blue according to the documents, the evidence we have from the Holy Scriptures. And even in this movie, it has been reiterated several times that they are made of fire, basically, all right? Mm-hmm. Even you could see it in the movie because it was showing like they were like molten fire when you
yes.
look at their faces, you know? So is there any reason that we see such a huge like distortion, a twist of fact that if you will, of course, that they become blue?
Not as far as I know. Not that I've been told of. I don't know. Maybe they have something in their culture or any special thing.
Mm-hmm. Sayyid Abdullah, any comment?
When it comes to blue, I think it depends on how they use it, though. If you're talking about genie in Aladdin or Aladdin.
Even that one was blue.
It was blue, yeah. So sometimes blue is in reference to desires, right? So they use the color blue. Where we use it in a different form, we use it in a different fear, right? So to prove something, it's very scary and very dangerous. So mm-hmm. we use the yellowish kind of orangish kind of color to
yes.
represent these things. We're trying to bring forward the scary kind of feel.
Mm-hmm.
Where in a Western culture, even with colors, it's a trick on the mind, though. They play that trick.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also personal. This is what I think. Like, it's just not, I mean, I haven't had a deep look into it. It's just like they trigger, with the color blue trigger certain things in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So they put them in your mind that later on they might trigger things.
I see.
So yeah.
And also we see another theme quite like prevalent kind of, you know, in the movies I've seen, except for a few like Conjuring, for example, it may in fact take different forms of human beings, you know.
Yeah.
The thing is the genies are usually like, you know, getting to the bodies of like the girls and kids.
Mm.
We also see this like based on some kind of personal experiences that I had with certain guys who claim to have like or purported to have some kind of contact with such phenomenon, you know, and they, you know, usually use the kid actually to contact, for example, that dimension. Mm. And is there any reason why they choose, for example, either girls or the kids? If it's a boy, it's a kid, basically, not a, you know, an adult.
Yeah.
Any reason for this?
The reason is, they have a reason. The reason is that they look for purity, because with these things, to make a connection, you need purity. So with boys get polluted very quickly in terms of akhlaq, in terms of morality, in terms of the thing they do.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get them young. With girls, usually, even when they get older, they still maintain their purity as long as they are still single. You know what I mean? So they use them mainly. And even you see that trend of women being a sacrifice for the lords, you know, at this
especially
stage
they
of
use
being,
the virgins.
Being virgins. Because they represent purity themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so they use that in the sense of purity.
Oh, that's the reason then.
Yeah.
I see. Purity.
Purity.
Okay, thank you very much. For your nice contribution. Finally, At last, we have come to the end of criticizing this movie. Of course, I know there are lots of questions about genies and such weird, let's say, supernatural stuff. But the thing is, we can't afford the time really to deal with all of those issues. And we take it very slow by, like, for example, you know, working and criticizing on such movies to somehow hopefully shed some light to the best of our ability and knowledge, of course.
Hopefully.
Thank you very much for listening. And thank you, both of you, Sister Asma and Sayyid Abdullah.
Pleasure.
And thank you, my dear audience, for listening to this program, Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We leave you in Allah's care, so please pray for us too. Thank you.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear friends, and here is some food for thought from the immortal martyr of Karbala, Imam Hussein, peace be upon him. The real stingy person is the one who refrains from greeting.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco Metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
All Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism. The Jamtal Glacier in Austria has been losing around 1 meter of its surface annually. Scientists say the ice is a precious archive that is simply melting away and are surveying the area. Austrian mountain researchers say the glaciers contain an invaluable trove of ancient frozen leaves and twigs and other scientific treasures that can be lost forever. They say the time capsules, including the remote Jamtal Valley, are falling victim to climate change. In the 1990s, tourists found that 5,300-year-old mummy of Iceman near the same area. According to the international data, global warming has raised temperatures in Europe's highest mountains by nearly 2 degrees Celsius in the past 120 years. French rescuers are racing against time to save a beluga whale stranded in Seine River near Paris. The beluga was first spotted stuck between two locks in the river from Paris to the English Channel on Tuesday. Specialists say the animal is undernourished and is refusing food. Warm water is also worsening the health of this creature, which is normally seen near Norway, some 3,000 kilometers to the north. Rescuers say they have only up to 48 hours to save the whale. They are now looking at the possibility of taking the beluga out of the water, treating it, and eventually transferring it out to the sea.
There are many big restaurants with Michelin stars awarded based on their quality. But you will be amazed to know that an eatery located in a tiny village in Greenland also has this badge of honor, making it the world's most remote Michelin-starred restaurant. This eatery in the village, which is home to only 53 people, serves you what it gets from its immediate surroundings. Looking out over the chilly North Atlantic, customers taste a variety of local products, ranging from whale skin to an Arctic bird whose entire wing, including feathers, is on the plate. The restaurant is so remote that you can only reach there by boat through floating icebergs. The head chef says he forages for wild berries, flowers, and herbs every day since the menu largely includes local flavors.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam, Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about the new concept of death in the school of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us.
كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عند كيال المصطفى كربلاء لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك آل المصطفى كربلاء كربلاء
Today, Friday, is the 21st of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 28th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we listen to verses 62 to 64 of chapter Yunus.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون
Unquestionably, for the allies of Allah, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve.
الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ
Those who believed and were fearing Allah.
لَهُمُ الْبُشْرَى فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم
For them are good tidings in the worldly life and in the hereafter. No change is there in the words of Allah. That is what is the great attainment.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The friends of Allah are those who have become believers, continuously strive after virtue and make continence their habit. For them there is good news both in this world and in the hereafter, because there are no changes in the divine words. And promises, for Allah always fulfills the promises He has made to His friends. This is a great victory and happiness for the person concerned. Did Imam al-Hussein know he would be killed? Imam al-Hussein led a group of his close family members and companions toward Iraq. Even women and young ones passionately chose to join the third Imam in his epic struggle. On the way, Imam al-Hussein was informed that his emissary to Kufa had been executed and that the people of Kufa had deserted him. Upon hearing the news, Imam al-Hussein said, Our Shia and supporters have deserted us. Those of you who would like to leave may do so freely, without fault. Those who remained committed to Imam al-Hussein's mission were of the highest caliber in intellect, faith, and love. The tragic and heroic events that followed cannot be described adequately in these limited times. However, every year across the globe, the principled struggle of the noble 72 defenders, led by Imam al-Hussein, has been commemorated. The elegies, the reflections, the tears, the principled actions of sincere devotees pronounce a glimpse of Imam al-Hussein's universal message of truth, justice and love for humanity.
Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the concept and phenomenon of death as viewed by Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. We find such kind of attitude not only in the words of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, rather in the case of the companions of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. I mean, we find that in the cases of companions of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, we find that all of them in the rajazis, in their battlefield poems, they expressed themselves in such a way that they were not scared of death, rather they welcomed death because they viewed that a higher goal and a higher destination was in view to reach. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam introduced a new definition of death and a new definition of martyrdom. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was certainly the true role model of pure Islam, and he was certainly a true personality who carried the legacy of pure Islam right from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find that in the words, addresses, and deeds of Imam al-Husayn salam, both in the time of comfort and in the time of crisis, we find that he never changed his definitions. Rather, according to Imam al-Husayn salam, death in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is martyrdom in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was just like a gateway or a kind of bridge that leads pious people from the world of conflict, the world of crisis, the world of hardships, to the castle of comfort and to the paradise of all sorts of divine granted blessings.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Husayn alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Husayn in the Karbala.
And on this episode of today's special and in this part, a life like Ali and a death like Husayn. The valiant prophet Moses did not fight Pharaoh to become king, neither did the righteous Imam al-Husayn take on the army of the corrupt Yazid merely to become caliph. Their effort was in fulfillment of moral obligation, which serves as a universal message, which has left a lasting legacy of a struggle and resistance against corruption and injustice. The lesson is not only in that they were prepared to fight for what is right, but were also willing to die for it. Selflessness, not selfishness. Humility, not ego. Principle, not power. Such a struggle has always raged on in a corrupted world. As Allama Iqbal said, ever since the beginning, two opposing forces have been at war, virtue and vice. Thus Prophet Moses rose against Pharaoh and Imam al-Husayn rose against Yazid.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار فلا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
Allah
IRIB English Radio and today's special presents approach of Imam al-Hussein towards death. Imam al-Hussein spoke about life being good, but not to point where we buy it on any price. This life is not so valuable. Imam al-Hussein spoke about humanity, saying humanity is much greater than simply living a life. Therefore, from that angle of humanity, Imam al-Hussein says, death is better than this life. Dying with dignity is better than living in humiliation. I don't see death except perfection and climax, and living along with oppressors is nothing but a loss and humiliating. Imam al-Hussein further says, my status is not a status where a person must fear death. How light is dying when you are dying on the path of dignity. Dying in the path of dignity is nothing but eternal life. How true. Where is Shemr, Yazid, and Umar ibn Sa'd today? And where is Hussein today? Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Peace and salutations upon you, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I send my condolences for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. We were talking about benefiting from Ziyarat al-Ashura and reciting it and incorporating it in our personal and spiritual lives. We look at Ziyarat al-Jami' al-Kabira, one of the important ziyarats. It says, خَلَغَكُمُ اللَّهُ أَنْوَارًا. God has created you, the Ahlul Bayt, as light. فَجَعَلَكُمْ بَأَرْشِهِ مُهْتَقِينَ. He then made you observe from his throne. He then made you observe from his throne. You were around his throne. You were around the arsh. حَتَّ مَنَّ عَلَيْنَا بِكُمْ. Until he favored us with your presence and brought you down from where you were around the arsh of God, and you were light, and they brought you to this world. Therefore, the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam are nur. Their majalis that we have, the majalis of Imam Hussein, the gatherings, the congregations we have for Imam Hussein, they are light. Their shrines are light. When a person reaches their shrines, it is full of light, but it takes a heart that is able to distinguish light and darkness, to be able to deal and cope and witness this nur and light. We are in need of light. We are in need of nur. When we pray, when we do salat, when we remember God, light comes and showers our hearts. When we separate from Him, when we separate from His commands, when we separate from His prophets and their successors, we are in absolute darkness. It's like pulling away light from the socket. And when you take out the cord, what happens? We stop shining. Therefore, as long as we're connected to God, we will have light. Our hearts will have light.
So we follow this interesting topic. I mean, the death in Imam Hussein's view. So I invite you to listen to the next episode of today's special. Until then, fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati wa mamati wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.